So with this, we begin our sermon, and we're going to focus on Jesus particularly today, and more specifically on three accounts in which Jesus teaches us about true greatness. Okay? I know I'm going to direct you on another passage now. So let's open up our Bibles to Mark 9, 33 through 35. Now, before we read this, I do want to say something. You know, sometimes when I read the Bible, it just cracks me up. I mean, there are so many funny stories in the Bible, to be honest. I was preparing for the sermon, and I was just cracking up, just thinking about, you know, the scenarios, you know. And before we read it, I do want to tell you, I have a friend of mine who I always tell to, you know, I always tell him, go read the Bible, man. You need to read the Bible, bro. And he tells me, man, Luis, you know, I really appreciate you telling me about reading the Bible and all. But, man, every time I read it, I feel like a bad person. I feel like a horrible person, man. Like, I don't think this is for me. And so I tell him, well, bro, that's the point. The point is for you to feel bad. See, the Bible is a book. The Bible is a book with bad news and good news, I told him. The bad news is you're a bad person, bro. You're a rotten apple. We're rotten apples. The good news is that God can forgive you. Amen? And so when we read this passage, I think the disciples were feeling the same exact thing that my friend was feeling. Let's go ahead and look into it. So it says, they came to Capernaum, and I had to look that word up because thank God for YouTube. They came to Capernaum, and he was in the house. He began to question them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. That's not what they were expecting, right? I mean, this is an argument that the disciples keep having over and over again throughout the Gospels. Who's the greatest? I mean, I think this is probably the dumbest argument I probably have ever heard, right? In the history of the world. I mean, guys, you're walking with Jesus. And what's crazy is that some of us are still having this argument today. The word says that God is with us and he's omnipresent. Yet we still have the argument about who's great, who's the greatest, who's the greatest leader among us. Who leads in what? Right? I mean, does he do it well? Do they do it well? What is it that they do? Oh, I can do that better than them, right? And that's what the disciples were arguing about. I mean, that's our nature. We're inevitably competitive and combative by nature in everything we do. No one will ever say, I think I'm going to lose today. I think I want to lose today. Right? It's very hard. If you find those people, man, please bring them to church. Right? But what I find more astonishing is that Jesus doesn't rebuke their desire to be great. Instead, he redirects it. He doesn't tell them, I don't want you to aspire to be great. He doesn't tell them, I don't want you to ever think about being great. He just redirects it. He redirects us and tells them, you want to be great? Okay, good. This is how you're great. You serve. You become least of all. Man, that's crazy. That's countercultural. So, you know, what's interesting to me is that, I mean, I was thinking about this last time. Man, if I was Jesus, I would have used this to ridicule them. I would have shamed, but that's how sinful I am. I would have been like, okay, you know what, guys, let's break it down here. It's 12 of you, one of me, Jesus. Who's the greatest? I mean, come on. It's pretty evident I'm the greatest. And I'll give you another example, guys. Okay, in the count of three, one, two, three, whose mother was a virgin? Huh, just me, right? Round two. In the count of three, who created the universe? Who? Just me, right? Jesus. But see, that's my flesh talking. I would have laughed at them. I would have been like, man, are you serious? It's pretty evident. But yet Jesus, the Lord of all, the God that created the universe, said, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to love you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redirect you. That's awesome. God is amazing. We serve an amazing God. So Jesus redirects them in a loving way, in a paternal way. He doesn't shame them or throw it against them. Instead, what he does is he redeems them. And what he says to them next is both kingdom language and completely countercultural. He says, if you want to be great, become a servant. If you want to aspire to greatness, that's fine, son. That's fine, daughter. But do it by being the least of all and by being a servant. You see, Jesus said this in Luke, and I want you to go to Luke, Luke 22, 27. This is another example where Jesus teaches us about true greatness. And see, a lot of times, now what God doesn't want you to do, remember, God looks at our hearts. God doesn't want you to just serve because you feel like you have to serve. Just because, oh, I got a commitment, I guess I'll go serve. See, your heart's not in it. I feel that, you know, I mean, everybody's expecting it. I'm in a group and I'm left out, I guess I will serve. Right? That's not the right heart. See, if you serve someone, you got to serve with the bottom of your heart for God's glory, not your glory. Let's go ahead and go to Luke 22, 27. And I love this. Excuse me. For who is greater, Jesus says, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. That's incredible. That's countercultural. Countercultural, because we're not used to that. See, Jesus is saying, I came from the kingdom where I was, commanding angels, down, became a human, and I'm not going to sit at the table and let you serve me. I'm going to serve the table. That's amazing. That's what he's teaching us. He's teaching us true greatness. He's saying, yes, you can be great, but you're going to be godly great, not earthly great, not worldly great. So see here, Jesus is saying, even though I am God, I'm not like the one who is at the fancy restaurant expecting to be served, commanding, as I should, because I commanded angels in heaven, right? On the contrary, I'm like the one who serves at the table, the one who humbly cleans your mess. The one who provides your food. Man. The one who forgives your sins. Undeservingly. Because I am a servant God. Because that is love and that is greatness. You see, we're not used to this. Not used to serving. We're used to being served. See, some of us are in positions of leadership at work or at school or at home with our families. And these are worldly positions. These are not godly positions, but they can become godly if you use them to serve others. And that is Jesus' great point, that it's okay to aspire to great worldly positions. That's fine. But use them for the glory of God by serving those you lead. See, Christ was leading the disciples. He could have mocked them. He could have made fun of them. He's God. Instead, he said, I'm going to serve you. He You want to be someone? You want to be great? I'm going to serve you. Look what I'm going to do for you. Look what I am doing for you. Like how I came down from where I was to serve you. That's the main difference between our God and the God of any other religion. See, if you and I would have made up a God, he would have been a prideful God, because that's who we are. He wouldn't have been, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make up a God that's a servant, that's in heaven in glory. No. We wouldn't have. See, that's why the Bible's real. It's true. So when we are in a position of power, like Jesus was, let's not use it to bully or lord over others, not for them to just tend to you and serve you. And this goes for any type of leadership, anywhere. See, we must reject worldly views of leadership and greatness, and this should change the way we think, the way we act, the way we serve, the way we tend to others. I mean, it's crazy. Sometimes I go into a Starbucks. This is what's crazy, because I was thinking about this. I said, man, I need to change my attitude when I go to Starbucks. I need to change my attitude when I go get served by people, because that's also important. How is my heart when someone's serving me? Am I just, waiter, waitress, please bring me this, bring me that? Am I saying please? Oh man, these fries are soggy, man, this meat's done wrong. You know, we demand. Does Jesus demand? He should be demanding. He should be screaming from the heavens. Are you guys okay? You keep sinning against me. Anyway, I'll tell you the Starbucks story. So I go into Starbucks and I see a bunch of like coffee gods. I mean, just you know, coffee lords. You know, is my coffee's wrong? You know, this is not the right coffee. I ordered the tall one, the small one, the big one. My milk is not whipped right. You know, this has to be hot. It has to be extra, extra, extra hot. This is 97 degree. Dude, you brought a thermometer? What kind of weird Lord, kind of weird Starbucks Pharisee are you? You know? But there's people like that. They're just demanding. And then the best thing about it is, let me talk to your manager. You know what that means? That means wrath will right now come upon you. Because I am Lord. Because I am customer. Right? It's interesting how we work. It's crazy. Another area where we are very discontent in is at church. You know, and this is not, I haven't been a Christian for that long, but, you know, this doesn't just happen at Starbucks. It happens at restaurants, hotels, airports. Like I said, at church. Oh, I don't like the seats at that church. They're really hard, man. They need to change their seats. Oh, that preacher talks a lot. He talks weird. I don't like him. Can they change their preacher? Demanding. Oh, I was falling asleep. They need to change the band. Can't play that good. It's playing the same songs. See, that is how we are. We're demanding. Because we don't come to church to acknowledge God's presence. We don't come to church to really experience a connection with our Lord. We come to be served. We come to be served. And that's not the right attitude. That's not the right heart. That's not what Jesus says to us. And as Christians, we sort of have this Christian amnesia. We forget. We forget how we should be. We forget about humility. We forget about the word. We forget about how Jesus taught us. But to be honest, it's not all of our fault. I mean, it's part of our economy. There was a guy by the name of James Gilmore who wrote a cool book called The Experience Economy. He says that, and check this out, it's very interesting. He says that we had a transition in our economy that was a day, that there was a day where most people worked for commodities, meaning, which are natural resources. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. There was a tree out there. I want lumber. I'm going to go cut a tree down. I'm going to have some lumber, right? You worked for the commodity. That's how the economy used to be, right? Commodities economy. I want to get coffee. I would go harvest the coffee, ground the coffee, therefore have a cup of coffee, right? Then we then transitioned to a goods economy, from a commodity to a goods economy. And what's happening is that now you can go to the nearest coffee shop and get your coffee extra hot, right? You can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and get your fresh lumber. So what he's saying is that, and what's interesting is that then that became a service economy. So someone now has to have, you know, get a commodity, turn it into a good, turn it into a service so that you can then be served. So it's in our culture. It's in our economy. That's why we're like that. And I'm the worst of them. When I was talking about this, about the Starbucks thing, I mean, I'm the Starbucks Pharisee. You know, sometimes I don't get the right shot. I'm like, I go back and I'm like, man, Lord, thank you. You see, we have to go against the grain. As Christians, sometimes we just have to, and that's what I want you to understand today. That it's about service. That greatness is simply serving. And that we should go against our own inclinations to want to be, go with the grain. Because it's ingrained in us. Everyone at our jobs, it's about who's doing what, who's becoming what, at what leadership are they in. Who's under them? What are they doing? Are they a good leader? We start to critique, right? We start to just, remember what I said last time? Prideful people are always thinking about other people. Humble people like Jesus Christ is always thinking about serving other people, but with the right intent. Lastly, I want us to go to John 13, verses 12 through 15. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." So notice that Jesus here is saying that he keeps telling the disciples this. He keeps telling them, you know, there was another account where the disciples are trying to come into this, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but they go into this event, and they want to sit right at the front of the event. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, no, go to the end, go to the back. If someone calls you up to become the first, then you're glorified. But if not, then you won't be ridiculed when they tell you to go back because you're sitting in someone else's seat. And so Christ keeps, and it's crazy because I think about their stubbornness. They were walking with Jesus. So if they walked away, and I'm not saying we're excused because we didn't walk with Jesus, but what I'm saying is he keeps telling them because we're stubborn people. He keeps telling them, I am a teacher. Yes, I am your Lord. I created you. But watch what I'm going to do for you right now. I'm going to get down on my knees. It's not enough. And check this out. I want you to understand this message. I didn't just come down from heaven and just become a human, a mortal human, because I'm immortal. Have to be able to eat, to get my food, to work, to sweat. I didn't just do that now. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to wash your feet. Man, God, it's just, every time I think about it, it just brings me down to my knees. It gives me conviction. Do I do enough? Do I serve like Christ did? And you know, it's not about washing the feet. Oh, are we expected to go wash people's feet? It's not, it's the idea of service. It's the idea of washing someone's feet can equal to buying food for somebody in need. Amen? It's not enough for us to just have Christ and talk to somebody about Christ. I talk to somebody about Christ. I pray for them. That's not enough. That's not enough because you just want to fulfill a list. Muslims fulfill a list. I have a friend who's a Muslim and a great friend of mine. He's actually my business partner. But he, and it's crazy because when we're praying, his name is Zubair, like Zoolander, but put together with bear. And so we're praying, and then it's funny, I tell him, hey, bro, go ahead and pray, you know? And he goes, oh, Lord, you know, and it's very like, you know, and I'm not making fun of him, but what I'm saying is, then at the end, I just say, thank you, Jesus. And he's like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. So, but he fulfills a list. We've talked a lot about, you know, he goes and he gives, you know, food to the poor. They give a certain amount of money. You know, there's praying these many times a day. We don't have that, right? We're free-flowing. And that's the reason why a lot of times we don't have that true connection, that relationship. It becomes religious. It becomes about just, I have to go to church. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to pray for anybody. You do it because you serve Christ, because it's for God's glory. Amen? So the question is, do you want to be great? Do you want to be great? Whose feet will you wash? Who will you serve today? Who will you serve tomorrow? Do you want to serve them? Do you have time? Today was a perfect example. You guys got, and I thank you for that. You guys went away, died to yourself, said, okay, I'm going to go sit by someone I don't really usually sit by. And you served them and you prayed for them. I thank you for that. We're going to pray now. We're going to end a little early because I want to pray for sister JoJo. We prayed for her earlier this morning, but I want to pray for her again. She had surgery and she had some complications, and so we're going to be praying for her. We're gonna be praying for her, and that's the reason why we only had three songs today. So we need more service. We need more people to help us for the glory of God.